You're listening to Sideshow Network.
Watch what craftens. Watch what craftens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens.
Today's episode is brought to you by our Patreon super sponsor, Madonna Hines. Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap we just love about Bravo TV. I'm Ben Mandelker from BsideBlog.com and the Banter Blender podcast, and joining me, as always, is the hilarious, sometimes Australian-accented Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com and the Rose Pricks Bachelor slash Finding Prince Charming podcast and Big Brother Smother. And are you guys doing Big Brother over the top? Are you guys on hiatus?
Hell no. No way. Big Brother is low rent enough without having like a separate online edition. No.
Yes. So anyway, if you want to relive this past season of Big Brother, go to his podcast. That's Ronnie Karam. Hi everyone. Welcome to the podcast. If you are new to the podcast, if you became a huge fan after hearing us at the LA Podfest, then go to watchforcrappens.com. You can find out how to reach us on Twitter, Facebook, all the social media. It's right there where you should follow us because your life will be that much better. Of course, if, facebook.com/watchforcrappens is where we have built a huge community, closing in on 10,000 likes. I think we're like around 7,600 or something like that, which is awesome. Everyone there is so funny. Everyone posts the funniest shit. Like, we literally have some of the funniest fans on the internet. I sincerely believe that. We post all sorts of junk on there, and so do our listeners. So go get involved. Extend the Crabman's experience there. And then we also have we do a show on TuneIn Premium. We do talk about Bravo gossip, so go check that out. And, of course, if you go to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens, you can support the podcast. You will get things like a weekly bonus episode. This week we talked about the presidential debates and also Finding Prince Charming, a great duo there. We also do things like a monthly Google Hangout, and ours is happening tonight. Hopefully you will hear this in time. We're having a Google Hangout tonight at 6 p.m. Pacific. If you subscribe at the Hangout level or above, you can hang out with us for like an hour and we'll like talk shit and stuff. And of course, if you donate at the mailbag level, you can submit to the Crappens mailbag, which is coming up in just a few minutes. And you can also, weigh in on the Crappens Super Fight, which is our fun new segment where we pit two Bravo stars against each other, using the game Super Fight and, try to imagine who would win. And the current scenario is Lisa Rinna, the reigning champion. She's imagining Lisa Rinna pregnant on a motorcycle, sparring off against 50 Janets from Melbourne who have the ability to turn into any vehicle, which is pretty scary.
Chicken mobile.
Chicken mobile is coming to get you, Rinna. I thought about it because my first instinct was that Janet would obviously win because there are 50 of her. And she could probably just, like, transform into the motorcycle that Rinna thinks she owns, baby. But it's really Janet all this time. But then I was thinking about it, that Janet would be coming hard. And then Rinna would just say, "Own it, baby!" Enough that Janet would be like, "Oh, but I have PTSD. I can't own it because I'm coping." And then she'd feel sad and invite Rinna over for dinner, to the family dinner.
I don't know, because you've got Janet on, in my mind, and like she can turn into an escalator or something. And also those two are both like, they'll both fight with their natural abilities, which is like that weird fake positive attitude about everything where they're like pretending that they're being really positive, but then they immediately throw you under the bus and you don't even know what just happened.
Rinna, I'm tapping out. Oh, aren't you so excited about the baby coming? She rides on a motorcycle with a baby, though.
That woman is on a motorcycle with a baby. Isn't that wonderful? What a terrible mother.
What a terrible, terrible mother. Don't you agree, other Janet? Yes. Don't you agree, other Janet? Yes. Don't you agree, other Janet? Yes.
Rinna will get her tunic dress caught in the escalator cracks and be killed.
I'm strangling her with her own tunic. How marvelous.
I feel like Janet would transform into an old-timey car. Like, isn't this lovely? You know, Studebaker. Ooga. And they just all compliment each other.
Isn't it lovely? Ooga.
I think she would just distract herself with her other selves. With all 50 of them would just start telling each, just want to show each other something. Isn't this lovely, chicken?
I love glitter dresses. What a beautiful woman. It's me. It's me. It's me.
She'll just beat herself having a fucking heart attack.
I just imagine it being like the worst ever version of Disney's Cars. It's just like Mater comes up, drives up. He's like, oh gosh, what are all these new cars? Like, oh darling, oh gosh.
Because so far she's like an old-timey car and an escalator, which isn't even, I don't even know why I consider that a form of transportation. Yeah. I do, okay.
Well, one Janet could be an escalator, one could be an old-timey car. You know, we have 50 Janets to turn into different vehicles.
Oh, that's true. I think that one of the Janets will turn herself into that self-driving Tesla that's like crashing into shit on the Autobahn.
Everybody wants a driver.
Where are we going? I have no idea. I'm not driving me.
But I like how in all the scenarios she has very little interest in actually fighting Rinna, which is why Rinna probably wins, because the entire time Rinna's circling around, tying her up in like a net. Out it, baby. They don't even realize because they're having like a cocktail party with each other.
They wouldn't even fight. They'd just be like,
"You look great, baby. Wonderful. Wonderful."
They'd probably just be shot by other people. It's like the superhero movie ends with just some random car stops and shoots them both.
And then all the Janets, because they're all clustered together in one big clump, they all start doing the spinny thing. Everybody. And because it's 50 of them spinning their hands, they actually take off like a helicopter and fly away.
I like thinking of Janet in like an automobile version of Orphan Black. It's like such a good thought.
It's like, I have an afro wig, Dolly. It's still me, chicken.
I like to think of Janet, 50 Janets infiltrating the Transformer franchise. So while the Transformers are destroying downtown LA, Janet said, "Darling, darling, it's so destructive. You know whose fault this is? It's Lydia. Lydiots. Lydia." And all the Transformers are like, "Who is this one? Where'd this one come from?"
"We will never be friends with that Lydia Transformer again. Oh, I forgive you." Tapping in.
"Oh, Shia LaBeouf, the problem is that you only talk about yourself." I'm tapping out of this friendship, Shia LaBeouf.
Shia.
"Don't be shy, Shia!"
"All right, I'm tapping back in. All I want is an apology, Shia."
My Janet accent's, by the way, totally crazy today.
"You think you're going to get away with this one, Shia? You're delusional!"
All right, so if you want to weigh in on Janet versus
every
Lisa
Transformer, man,
I heard that Bumblebee's having sex parties.
"Have you seen that bus? It's taking on quite a load of blokes.
You know, Megatron, he wants me to come back to him. But after he got a hand job from a Turkish massage worker, I don't know if I can do it."
"Ryan's a real stick shift."
"Our relationship was on cruise control, literally."
Oh, God. What else are we doing today? You can tell we have a light Bravo day.
Yeah. When we talk, we go on a big thing like that. Okay, so if you want to weigh in on who wins, 50 Transformer Janets versus one pregnant Lisa Rinna on a motorcycle, and I think most women would probably agree that when you are pregnant, you are capable of all sorts of crazy things, then go to Patreon and weigh in there, and we'll read the results on our next episode. And in the meantime, Rondel, why don't we open up the Crippin's mailbag? Now look, here come 50 Janet mail trucks.
It's your mail, chicken.
Walking in really tight heels. Really high.
Chicken!
Okay, so Crappin's mailbag. Let's see, Betty Brown. Betty Brown asks, do you two ever argue? Also, with the podcast growing so much, what's your vision going forward with the show? 5 days a week? Yes. That's really good. I really like it when we get questions that are actually about us. I like being able to share our world.
Well, go for it. Don't let me stop you.
We're like Siskel and Ebert. Once the microphones are off, it's just nothing but hostile stares. No, we actually do not. We really don't argue. Really, have we ever really had an argument? I don't think we have.
Mm-mm.
Not once.
No, which is weird, right?
Well, it'd be funny if you thought we did have an argument and I said we never did, because that in and of itself would be an argument.
You just forgot.
No, I mean,
I'm still hurt. I'm waiting for an apology. You forgot it ever happened.
Anytime we've had a disagreement over how we, like, what sort of future we want for the show or an idea, we're able to pretty much talk it out rationally and, like, hear each other out and usually find either a compromise or, like, one of us is willing to be like, okay, like, I'll go with that. Like, it's been pretty, pretty easy.
I think we're equally as traumatized by our past in some way. Yeah. I would never know what it is with you. I mean, everyone knows mine because I blab it all the time. It's my excuse for everything.
Uh-huh.
But like with you, I would never know. But there seems to be some way that I'm trying to think of how to say it. Like we both have a way of disconnecting from that that emotion that needs that kind of drama. Like if we have any issue, we just say it and then we just talk about it and then it ends really. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think what's great is that Ronnie is you're totally flexible. You're down to try different things. And like you're a great collaborator in that way. And you also come up with great ideas. So I never really have an issue. You know, I've been down the path of working with friends before. And as I'm sure many of our listeners have, whether it's friends or spouses or something like that. And there are so many pitfalls. And the first time I did it, I fell into those pitfalls many times. I mean, it's really tough, but I actually do feel like I learned a lot. I know what to look out for. And basically, long story short, the fact that we've been doing this for 4.5 years, if you were a problem, I wouldn't put up with it, basically. Meaning that, like, I've been through the shit, and it's just like it's a testament to how good you are, you know. Because otherwise, I would have been like,
you'd
okay,
just be like,
peace out. Yeah, I would have. Yeah. I would have for sure.
Yeah, I know that about you, and I like it.
It sounded like totally condescending, and you're welcome.
No, it's really not condescending. Like I know that about you, and I'm the same way. Actually, I mean, I think you should only be doing stuff in life. I know this sounds so spoiled, but you should only be doing really what you enjoy, even if it's waiting tables or whatever. I enjoyed that, you know. Yeah. If you ain't gonna take that shit, get the fuck out of it. If you're in a bad relationship, get out. Okay,
right.
Leave. Yeah. Bye. Run. Of course, that's why I'm never in one. But there you go. That's why I don't do a relationship advice show.
The thing is, I think what has been really helpful is that after like my first entrepreneurial endeavor. You know, I learned the value of setting parameters and having like a really clear understanding of what a project is going to be about. Because if you don't have that understanding, you don't want to be like a year in and be like, well, I was thinking it should go this way. You know, that, and then the other person's like, well, I always thought it was like this. Like you have to know immediately like what like the expectations are. And so we've really been on the same wavelength and it's made this entire thing a breeze. I mean, this podcast has actually blown up more than I ever really thought it would, but always hoped it would. And there have been no growing pains. It has been like, it's been a totally great scaling up. You know, the fact that we are at a place where we're getting like 300,000 listeners per month is like beyond my wildest expectations. And the fact that to have someone like you, Ronnie, who is like such a great collaborator, makes this all so much easier. And I think the only reason why we have those big numbers is because of someone like you. And you're also really funny. You're also super, super funny.
I love you, and whoever ends up marrying you is going to be the luckiest man in the world. You know how to deal with crazy ladies, that's for sure.
And then the vision...
like, yes, dear. Yes, whenever dear. I'm in trouble or being trouble, you're just like, okay.
Right.
Okay.
Well, you also put up with me, because sometimes I can be in a bitchy mood, for sure.
I love a bitchy mood. I love all your sides, my little Moony.
Aww. And then the vision for the show, I don't know what our vision for the show is going forward. You know, in terms of 5 days a week, whatever, we've had it on our, since like for like a year and a half, our Patreon goal, which is that once we get to a certain like benchmark, we'll go from 2 days a week to 3 days a week. So that's like our like most immediate vision. And anything bigger than that, I don't know, probably just like world domination. I don't know. I think we just want to be bigger and more famous. I'd like to
running the world,
darling. I'd like to get more press for our show. I feel like we have done so much. We've been so grassroots, and I would love to take it to the next level by getting out there more. But that's not really a vision of the show. That's just more.
Yeah,
of a vision
we need
of
to
our
go
ego.
From being like Bernie's to Hillary.
Yes. That's right. So Michael Horn asks, I don't know if you guys would have had to set this up beforehand or if you have already done this before you get to my question, please ignore. But could you all watch the new Vanderpump Rules and Atlanta trailers together and react? We watched the Vanderpump Rules trailer on TuneIn, but we haven't watched the Atlanta trailer. Should we do that? Should we find the Atlanta trailer?
I'm down. Yeah, it's on our Facebook.
Okay, so
Miss Cindy C on the CC posted it over on Facebook.
Always on top of it. So right, so let me scoot on over there.
Watch what creppins.
As you can see, we read these questions on the fly, so we're like, yeah, just like.
By the way, I'm seeing this on the Facebook because we post all our episode photos on the Facebook. My friend Zabeth came to the live show and she was making fun of me all night that I can't do Australian accent without making pirate face. And I love that you got that picture of me making pirate face while doing an Australian accent.
That's like the only picture, like, that's there were like a bunch of pictures, but that one was like the one that was most in focus. So.
It was hilarious. And I love that Mr. Potato Head is sitting there too.
Yeah, for everyone who's wondering what the Mr. Potato Head references have been, why can't I find this Atlanta trailer? Somewhere
there's Phaedra. Okay, that's a different.
It's probably
one.
In the visitor posts.
I'm so excited. Oh no, this is on people.com, girl. Yeah. Well, I posted it on our front page, but I ain't going to People. That'll shut both our computers down.
How about It'll this? Like,
ads,
How
ads, about... video ads, ads, and video ads.
How about we watch the Atlanta trailer on the next show?
I brought it up. Do you,
oh,
have
you brought it up?
Oh, yeah. Do you want me to send it to you?
Yes, please.
Do you want me to text her to you?
Yeah,
it doesn't look
it
like
me.
There's a commercial.
Well, I have my an God. Ad blocker, so I never have a commercial. Would you believe it? My ad's being blocked.
How dare you block my ad? I'm going to be married, girls! What if Luann married the ad blocker magnate?
Well, listen, Bethany, I know you have a wonderful brand, but I'm sorry, we're just going to have to block it. I mean, like, I don't get it. Like I have a brand summit. Like, I went to brand summit. Like, put all this money into an ad, and you're not going to show it. I don't get what's the point of that. Like, I'll say my walls are up. Like, I'll say you put an ad blocker on my heart. Like, I can't. Like, it's too much.
You know who needs a wall up? Porsche. They need to put a wall around Porsche. Oh, yeah. I hope if Donald Trump loses, he still builds a wall around Porsche.
Around Porsche.
Because, girl, the cover shot on this teaser is terrifying. It's Porsche. I think new boobs again.
Yeah,
and a bathing suit with like a big fake Michael's Hobby Lobby glitter flower belt. No. So much snow and a pashmina.
I'm not totally sure if is Portia a cast member this year or not. Like, I can't tell. Because
she's a Porsche member. She's a member until she beats somebody up again, and then I think she gets fired.
I see. Okay.
Spoiler alert.
It has finally loaded up. It's, you know, it's slow. Okay, I'm gonna press play right now. Okay, three.
Okay, say 2-1. Okay.
3-2-1. But it's gonna take a. It's gonna give me a moment because wait, stop yours because mine. Okay. Mine's so slow. Okay, it's still like loading.
I got about a bar of bum bum bum.
It's because also the Bravo player is shitty too. I'd like to add that. The Bravo player
this
is
this season on The Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Ready? Hit it, child.
Kenya and Portia doing Thelma and Louise.
Boom.
Oh my god, Cynthia's boobs.
I put it in there, and then the laser comes out of this hole.
The bitch is back.
Sheree is
the
back.
Chateau is finally ready.
Chateau Sheree is ready.
My name is on my home. Your mother's name is on Chateau Thelma.
Big smile, let's sing.
I love that the house arrival is still happening.
Riley's old enough to say that she may have a relationship with her dad.
To place someone in the highest office, we have to make the right decision.
Would you marry Bob again?
Cue the music. Usual combination of strange squeals.
So do you think she's got a love interest?
Ooh. Hi.
You said you're not gonna chase me or Rob.
Tell me you ain't gonna chase my child. You should chase her.
I love when Kenny gets mad.
I love my wife. I was in it till we died.
Peter. Look how Peter's standing by, a decrepit.
Unfinished ass house.
This dude Phaedra used to represent came to her office with a grenade.
He was looking for you and he was gonna hold you to f*** up.
Oh, what are you dancing for?
Rising grind.
Regular oh, sex
shirtless Matt. Shirtless Matt.
He kicked in my hotel room door.
What did you do last night?
Just mad, hitting the wall.
He has going.
We don't not take my kids, get out of there.
He bust out the windows in her garage.
He's unstable. So y'all now want to just spill dirty laundry about each other?
That I don't feel a furious.
Favor has said you stupid. You got bricks for brains.
Baby, I loved you more than I love my husband.
Candy, are you a lesbian?
What?
Oh my
Candy
God.
Lesbian
you
list.
You and your
not
husband asked me and Shamia to come back to your house.
You are damn fine.
You don't have a sex dungeon.
She told me that you're on medication.
Don't start lying now. The way that Kenya brought it up and then you all piggybacked.
Piggyback your ass up, you fake bitch.
I think I'm done talking.
Portia.
Calm Portia down.
I'm done with everybody.
Portia's freaking out.
We're security.
Freaking out. So basically, it's a lot of squabbling.
Well, certain things jumped out to me. Chateau Thelma is my new I think that's what she said. Chateau Thelma.
Oh, I thought she said Chateau Thelma, but I Thelma. Probably Velma.
Okay,
it's probably Velma
works. I just like the name Velma. Can we just pretend her name? Her mom's name is Velma.
Yes.
But Kenya's like, at least my name is on my house. Your mom's name is on Chateau Thelma. Please bring Sheree's mother on as like someone who's super controlling and trying to be the landlord now because she gave Sheree a loan. Please.
Please, please, please.
we need another crazy mother to go up against Mama Joyce. Mama Joyce looks drunk and crazy in every clip they show her in this season.
Yeah. It's weird that there's this thing, is Candy a lesbian? That's like a very strange new rumor. By the way, we saw Shamia in the trailer. We saw Marlo. A lot of Sheree, which is good. No Nini. No Kim. But a little bit of Cynthia. I mean, who's left in this cast then? We got Sheree, Kenya.
Candy.
Phaedra.
Phaedra.
Sort of Portia, maybe? Sort of Portia.
I think Portia and there's one we're missing.
There was
Phaedra.
No, I said Phaedra.
Oh, darn.
They didn't say like there was no new person this season. They didn't say anyone who's new. So I don't know. I'm still a lot of questions. I'm curious to see how it's gonna what's going on this season.
Well, who's I really like that Mama Joyce spent that season like going first. Everybody loved Mama Joyce because she was fairly quiet. Then she went crazy when she got dickmatized by what was his name?
Ridiculous.
Oh yeah, ridiculous. That ain't right. That is wrong, Candy. And then she went crazy on Todd. And then last season, she was trying to pretend she was really nice again, which was hilarious because her eyes were saying way different things. Like, her mouth was saying, Todd, I want to be your family, Todd. But her eyes were like, "You, I feel like you just slapped me in the face with a dick, Todd." So I'm excited to see where she goes. I think Cynthia was in one scene, and I'm glad we still get to see Peter, you know, pretending that he's a good person. I don't know what happened. I was in that for the long run. I was in that for the whole life.
Yeah. How about you go look at your Instagram history, and then you can find out what happened. And he's literally just like standing in front of some shitty brick wall that's like half crumbled. I'm like, is this going to be like the new outpost of Bar One? I mean, like, it's almost like classier than the previous versions.
Maybe he's getting his headshots taken. That's so LA. Whenever you're driving somewhere, you see some idiot getting their headshots taken, and they're like, look, I'm in front of a crumbling brick wall.
Yeah. Artsy. Yeah, no, he's a disaster. I'm excited that they're both going to be off the show. And I mean, Peter is really one of the worst, like, husbands. I don't remember the last time we did a list of the worst housewives' husbands, but he is definitely towards the bottom of the barrel there.
They don't have a whole lot of luck with the men on this show, I have to say. Greg Leakes, we all need a Greg Leakes around the house.
Yeah.
Abuse his ass, leave him in the basement till you need him. He'll carry your purse.
Right.
I love some Greg, but, you know, this whole drama with the Rent-A-Man, Kenya's latest Rent-A-Man, Rent-A-Roid-Rage-Man, looks like it ends pretty much how we expected. I mean, she's not at the bottom of a lake.
Right.
But that would have to be a heavy brick to keep her ass under. She'd just float to the top.
I think the best husbands that Atlanta has seen, I really liked Kim Fields' husband, whatever his name was. I liked him.
Oh, yes. Mom jeans.
Yeah.
And he'll, like, start bitch fighting with everyone to stand up for his, you know, his hag.
Yeah, he was really good. And I think that Croy, like, I don't even know why Croy has enmeshed himself in this world. Croy seems like such a stand-up guy, and the fact that he is with Kim Zolciak and just, like, has this disastrous, you know, money leeching wife attached to him.
Yeah.
Is like, that shows so much patience.
Well, some people are just fixers, you know?
Yeah.
Like, a plumber's not happy with a toilet that flushes properly every day. You know, he needs like a janky ass toilet that he's got to fix, and, you know, stuff will get clogged up in there. He's got to whip out the hose every once in a while. People need, some people are just project kind of people.
And I don't think we've really talked about Kim Zolciak lately, but her face is completely different. She actually, maybe we have discussed this, but she's actually, I think, tried actively to look like her daughter. She now has Brielle's face.
They're meeting in the middle.
Yeah.
They're meeting in the plastic middle because the daughter's getting a lot of surgery and looking like the mom, and the mom's coming back to look like the daughter. You know, before, by the time they end, it's going to evolve all the way back to like full circle, and it's just going to be some weird 20-year-old with a crazy face and wigs claiming to have like cancer and dating some old Indian man who's buying her condos.
And meanwhile, poor Ariana, she's just like the forgotten one. You know, there's like the little boys that like get all the attention of the cameras. There's Brielle and then Ariana stuck in the middle. She's the Jan Brady of the Zolciak family.
Yeah, Kim was saying something on Instagram or somewhere. I don't know where I see all this crap, but she was saying something like, oh, we don't see Ariel that much, but she really is still such a huge part of the family. I mean, what a babysitter. What a babysitter. Poor thing.
Poor sweet. Is her name? I don't remember her name. Is it Ariel?
I feel like it's not Ariel because we would have Little Mermaided that.
Yeah, we would be a part of the Zolciak world.
Yeah. Oh, God, don't even start. I won't. You know we're never going to get out of that. I've watched a little bit of Don't Be Tardy.
Oh, yeah? How is it this
season?
That
show's fucking hilarious. It really is a funny show. We don't ever need to cover it on this show because, like, what are you going to talk about? Oh, look, there's Kim being white trash again. It's like that's the entire recap. Thank you, bye. But it really is hilarious, I think.
Yeah. I haven't seen it this season, but I was never a huge fan of it. It's like, it just feels like I don't care enough about what's going on in their life.
Well, I don't really either. It's just that I've been watching Bravo Live a lot because the shows that we cover are on the night before or whatever. So I've been watching a lot of random things that I normally wouldn't watch. Also, I think, speaking of, I think Reza's show starts soon.
I think it does too. There have been like a million promos for it. So all I know is I keep on like, I'll be sitting there watching TV and I'll hear Reza go, "The curb appeal of this house is on fleek." And I'm like, fast forward.
Chevron, they're stepping onto the curb, okay, sweetie?
By the way, I just want, I know you don't want to talk about Little Mermaid, but I do want to observe that Ariel's observations about the human world are actually a little more astute than Kim Zolciak and her family's. Like, what's this thing? It's a fork. Oh.
She at least learned what a fork is. The rest of them still eat with their damn hands. Yeah. Now they just like put their face in a macaroni from Costco or whatever and just start digging in like dogs.
I feel like Kim was homeschooled by the seagull from that movie.
or the sea otter from Finding Nemo Part 2. Oh.
Kim is just some creature from the sea that just washed up in Atlanta.
Kim Zolciak is Margaret Sanger's nightmare. It's like the lady who is so behind abortion for population control. I don't watch that show, but every time I turn it on, there's a new fucking baby. Every single time, there's like some new snot-nosed little baby. She's like, "Look, I got a two-year-old. He's driving a car around the neighborhood." What? What are you doing?
This is why
abortion was invented. Use the tools modernity gave you, darling. Jesus.
I'm just imagining her show being repackaged for China, but under the name American Horror Story. So many children.
And they would still have Chaz Bono playing a neighbor.
Is Chaz Bono on that show?
Yes. I thought the internet was being such dicks because they were like, "Yeah, really liked Chaz Bono as the creepy next door neighbor." And I was like, that is mean. That is really not cool. It's literally Chaz Bono as the crazy like
that is
horror show of the next.
That is next horrifying.
You gotta love Ryan Murphy.
Well, I think that's a good place to wrap up the mailbag for today. We'll be back next week with more of those questions. If we didn't answer your question, then don't worry. We will answer it next week. And also, if you have other questions, just add them right there on Patreon.
Can I just say that People Magazine is totally racist? Right next
door
to the Real Housewives of Atlanta Super Tease, the ad is best fried chicken in the U.S.
Oh,
come on, that's just tasteless.
That is tasteless and tasty at the same time.
I know, it does look delicious. There's like fried chicken and a donut. I mean, it looks good. I'm not going to click on it because I won't be able to concentrate.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know you must be quite hungry right now, which is funny because when it comes to food, you know, there's so many options. And we have a brand new advertiser that I'm actually really excited to talk about. Their name is HelloFresh. And they are one of
Hello?
These...
Fresh.
Hey, Fresh. What's up?
Hey, Fresh. Hello, Fresh.
Fresh. Hey, Fresh, the modern food. But HelloFresh is a meal kit delivery service that makes cooking fun, easy, and convenient.
Yes, it sure does. Each week, HelloFresh creates new delicious recipes with step-by-step instructions designed to take around 30 minutes. And they're for everybody from the novice to the seasoned home cooks, short on time. And we actually got these boxes this week. These bitches ain't lying.
Oh, no.
I mean, I made that stuff in 30 minutes, and it was so good. I even ate a pork chop, okay?
Yes. It has actually changed my view on pork chops, because the pork chop was so good. I was like, holy crap. I never know. Like, I have memories of pork chops being dry and not great. And so when I made it, I was like, okay, I'll make this. And it was delicious. And in 30 minutes, I made the pork chops and mashed potatoes and an arugula salad. And I had like a full meal, and it was so good, so much so that this week I bought some pork chops and I did my own pork chop thing inspired by their pork chop recipe, and it was equally delicious. It changed my life.
I've noticed that my building is all bungalows, and I've noticed the people who get these boxes are basically like millennial girls who want to cook but ain't got the time for it. Like all these girls. And they've actually all learned how to cook now.
Yeah.
It gives you the stuff you need. You don't have to go to the store. And it teaches you how to cook it.
It does, actually.
Deliciously.
Like, and, you know, Ronnie and I actually, we cook a lot. But, you know, the thing is, it's so funny because I spend so much time poring over recipes and, like, what do I want? And doing this HelloFresh thing, I, like, just made my pork chop and, like, this super simple arugula salad. And I was like, you know, I don't have to always be poring over recipes. I can just do something really simple, like tossing arugula with some like olive oil and lemon juice and like salt and pepper. And that's just like a nice way to fill out a meal so easily. I don't have to like make an elaborate side salad from the Ottolenghi cookbook, you know?
Yeah, and the super elaborate things that really take these meals over the top, like that particular dish was the crust, because this kind of Duca crusting on it, and that's
so good.
So many different spices and fresh herbs, and that's the hardest part. And we didn't have to do that.
And so
that was
I made a variation this week where I chopped up like some cilantro, and then added like some salt and pepper, some garlic, olive oil, and some cumin, and some za'atar, and some chili powder, and lime juice. And I made a paste, and I followed like the same skeleton of that recipe, and it was delicious. By the way, we sound like an infomercial right now. This is like, we have our talking points. This is not the talking points. We're actually just like really excited about this HelloFresh shit.
Yeah, it's actually something we really liked. I was wearing my boy brow while I was cooking.
Wait, did you? I also made their cheeseburger, and it was excellent.
It was delicious. I made all of them.
I didn't get around to the chicken yet.
I actually made that at like 3 a.m. in the dark because that was when my electricity went out the night of our live show, and all the electricity went out. I was drunk and it was hot as hell, and I still was like, I'm gonna cook. So I put my iPhone camera flash on or whatever, the flashlight on the iPhone, and I made this shit in the dark. Okay,
wow.
And it was still delicious. Honey chicken, honey soy glazed chicken.
Wow.
So anyway, HelloFresh sources the freshest ingredients. They're measured to the exact quantities you need, and there is no food waste.
Yeah, employ a full-time registered dietitian. They employ a full-time registered dietitian on staff who reviews each recipe to ensure it is nutritionally balanced.
And it's all delivered to your doorstep in a special insulated box for free.
So for $35 off your first week of deliveries, visit HelloFresh.com and enter Crappins when you subscribe.
That's right. Just go over to HelloFresh.com and enter Crappins when you subscribe for $35 off, y'all.
Yeah, and as you can obviously tell, we are supes excited about this one. So, but anyway, we're also super excited to talk about some Below Deck. So let's talk about some Below Deck. This was quite the exciting episode, was it not? And it was also very food-centric, speaking of HelloFresh.
Yes, it was a very good show to be doing a full episode with just Below Deck, because Below Deck sometimes takes a while to get into the area where you can talk about it for that long, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, well, some people cleaned, and then, you know, they got, you know, Ben peeled a pineapple. Well, that was rough.
Yeah.
And then someone got mad. So as I start going more and more stir crazy throughout the season is when it gets really fun. And this week we got a peak.
Yeah. This is a great week.
The exit of the booger eater.
Yes. So we pick up this week where we left off last week, which was Trevor being drunk on like a little swing.
You're shit-faced.
And Trevor's like, Ben's a douchebag when he's drunk. Like, no, that's so ridiculous. He's a douchebag all the time. How dare you?
Trevor's look when Ben takes his beer and just throws it. He's like, why would you do that?
I'm a hair model.
It's like he just burned down his village.
And I love it. I dingo ate my beer. So, and then I love when Ben gets high and mighty. He just goes, Trevor's this belligerent little redneck. It's just kind of annoying, little redneck. Didn't go to boarding school. It's hair model.
Belligerent little redneck. I'm not into it, darling.
Not darling. So they all, like, because Trevor's so drunk, they decide they're just going to go back to the boats. They pile into this, like, looks like a giant rickshaw bus of some sort. And they're all like, yeah,
it's kind of like an old out of commission Disneyland trolley thing that takes you from land to land.
Yeah, it was so, it was like this open air thing. Like they had suddenly like gone to Vietnam. They were like in an elaborate tuk-tuk or something.
Yes, it was like a golf cart bus thing. And I like that Nico was trying to be the dad. He's like, mm-hmm. We are leaving because of our reputations in the town. Okay.
Yes. We all must live up to the name Valor.
That shanty bar they were at. It's like hula skirts as the ceiling and like a lady in a bikini holding a Corona as the artwork. He's like, I'm worried about a reputation.
We must be respected at Captain Titty Fart's bar.
So they're all on the golf cart bus.
The golf cart bus. I love how we spent so much time on this stupid bus. It's Janet. Surprise chickens.
Why are you being a douchebag, Trevor?
Would you like to meet Susie? She's single. So then they're like, yeah, they're going after Trevor. They're getting annoyed at him, and then they're like making fun of him for being a hair model, and then he's like, I am a fucking hair model.
Ben and Kate were the ones doing that. They're such assholes and hilarious. Ben's like,
he's a hair model. What do you want from him?
Kate's like, ha ha, hair model.
Kate is just like storing everything in like her personal filing system so that way she can like tell it drolly to the captain the next morning, you know. She's just like, okay, keep talking. Yes. I'll be holding on to this moment. Yes, thank you.
She's like putting each information into like a little clump of weave. Like each cuz Kate, you know, we love you. You know, we're like real life friends now, but girl, you sleeping on that weave and then just getting up and then you're going to have dreadlocks by the time this charter is done.
Well, when in the Caribbean.
I'll just store that right above my part.
So now Nico's getting mad because like Trevor said just enough things and Nico's getting mad. He's like, shut the fuck up.
I'll end you, bro. And he's like, lick my nuts. Classy fight. Nice.
Yeah. So then Trevor really, he does something that no one should do, which is make fun of a very hot man to his face. And he tells Kelly, he goes, or he doesn't even tell Kelly, he just mumbles like all insolently. I got a PTSD fucking Marine as my fucking bosun.
I'll end you! Lick my nuts! No, you lick my nuts! Burp! It's like this frat fight. So they decide, Trevor's like, I'm going to kick your ass. So they stop. You know, poor Trevor is cross-eyed when he's sober. Lord knows what he's like drunk.
Yeah.
He's like, stop the golf cart bus train! And he gets off, and he's like, get out of the car! Get out of the car! Poor thing probably thinks it's really a car. Darling.
No, darling, it's Janet. And then Trevor's being so obnoxious. He's talking about Kelly. He says, his buddies died in the fucking military. Who gives a fuck? He literally says this. This is the guy who bragged about the fact that his friend died surfing, okay? But Kelly's friends who died in the military.
Surfers, those are the real heroes.
Keep it strange, am I right?
Maybe if those terrorists would catch some waves, the war would be over, am I right? And he's like, who cares if his friends died? He signed up for it, okay? And he tells Kelly, go back to the war, okay? I know more about being a bosun than you. I know more about yachting than you. I know more about being in the military than you, okay?
I worked for Paul Mitchell, okay? That was like war. That was like going to war in hair.
Do you think it's easy for me, like, opening a Paul Mitchell catalog and seeing my long, gorgeous hair down to my muffin top? Well, you're right, it is easy, because I'm a bro warrior in the Paul Mitchell hair catalog world, man.
Hey, bro, why do you think that musical hair has been such an international hit for 40 years? It's because people understand it. They get hair, and it's about war, so hair is better than war, okay? So I get war. I understand it, bro.
He reminds me of, like, a Cabbage Patch doll. You know how they're all, their eyes are like too close to each other and they're all kind of cross-eyed, but they just come with different hair. He's like that. It's like a Paul Mitchell Cabbage Patch hair model.
Yeah.
Tour.
Yes. So now Kelly was like, so they basically were like, okay, you have to stay on the island. You're not even allowed on the boat. Kelly was like sad. Poor Kelly. When he gets sad, you just want to hug the big handsome guy. They climb onto the boat.
Is that like new slang for like hand job?
Yes. You want to hug him around the penis with your hand. We love you, Kelly. Kelly listens. So
you're hot. Take some more nude shots. The other day we talked about your dick pic for like a good 10 minutes, and I found out it was old. It's still my wallpaper.
But I'm sure that makes him really happy.
Like the most awkward wallpaper
update.
Ever.
He used to listen. So now it's the next morning, and for some reason I was really entertained by Captain Lee not being able to find his radio. Have you seen my radio?
You see my radio? Huh? Where's my radio? Anybody seen it? Can't find my radio.
Kate's like, well, you can use Trevor's radio because he's not on the boat.
Let me grab you some cereal and then we can chat. I was like, oh, she was waiting 12 hours to say that. She was like, when am I going to find my moment? I can't wait to say something like this.
Look, I can see the entire morning, me with clumps of hair, the captain with some off-brand Cheerios with Captain Crunch berries inside of them. It's going to be the most confusing scene anybody's ever seen this season.
And his response, nice jammies, Kate.
I love your hat. Yeah. Like, that's my hair, actually. But thanks.
Love that Rasta hat you got going on there. Did you find that at one of those tourist shops?
I like when she's like, well, Trevor's not on the boat. And he goes, so, where'd you release him? Like, he's just like he's some stray dog that you gave a bath to and just like let out your car in the parking lot of some Kmart in the valley.
ASPCPMM, American Society of Prevention of Cruelty to Paul Mitchell Models. That's where they was released to.
How did you do that so fast?
I don't even know.
That well, is I knew, so smart.
I knew all I had to do was swap out the A at the end for PMM, Paul Mitchell Models. So I was like, but I still was like, as I was saying it, I was like, is this going to work out? Is this going to work out?
That explanation was like the entire film, A Beautiful Mind. Where you can see how he's working all those math problems out in his head, like with ballet music behind him.
You know, I've said this many times, including during our last episode, our live episode, how I really go into a fugue state when we record, and I don't remember the shit that I say. Someone tweeted at me and was like a quote that said, like, number one thumb model in all of Myanmar, like, I guess was something I said. And I have no idea when, why, or about whom I said that.
Oh, and it's probably best.
It is probably best.
Probably for the best. So Lauren is cleaning something outside, as they are wont to do on this show. And she
just can't help herself.
She's telling someone, I have an alcoholic in my family, and they just keep doing the same thing over. You just say, you know, they're healed, they're better, they say I'm sorry, and then they do the same thing over and over. If I had to count on one hand all of the people we've had to kick out of a bus golf cart, I wouldn't be able to do it. Tell you that. I'm like, get back to cleaning. You got time to lead. You got time to clean, lady.
So while she is talking someone's ear off, Captain Lee and Kelly are talking about the Trevor situation. And Captain Lee, I mean, he obviously is going to fire Trevor, but he's like, I want to talk to everyone. So it's like this montage of everyone coming in being like, yeah, he's terrible. He insulted the military. He has terrible hair despite being a Paul Mitchell model. Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, it was like the Law and Order interviews. I know. Everybody had to go in there.
I was like, where's Kira Sedgwick?
Yes. He was totally doing it with that bedside manner. He's like, all right, well, I hope someone can have a lovely day while they clean the blood off the walls. Those Kira Sedgwick lines don't really work with the captain, though. Because she's like, hi, everybody. Okay, we've got a serial murder. Please get that blood off the walls. Thank you.
My dad will be so excited that we are referencing the closer on this podcast. He'll be like, finally, an episode I can understand.
That was one of my favorite shows. It was like the resurgence, because I hadn't seen it since Monica from Friends. It was the resurgence of the thin woman character who has an like eating disorder where she eats too much and she's supposed to be fat, but she's really the skinny woman. I loved it just for that. She's like, I'm so fat, I'm eating a cupcake. That serial killer, I'll tell you. Whew, it's sugar into your skin. Thank goodness for chocolate ho-hos. Like, I can see your elbow bones through your fucking suit jacket, Kira.
So everyone's talking about how Trevor's terrible. Of course, Ben is the one who's like, well, I think we should give him one more shot, you know? I'm like, why are you always... He always is so empathetic to these assholes, and yet he's so, like, so mean to the people who are actually good at their jobs who deign to help him out in the kitchen. Although,
because
I don't know.
He likes the under... Because he feels like he is the asshole, so he's nice to the other assholes, you know? It's like me. I like terrible, terrible people. Not you, Dunning.
So then Trevor finally comes in, and he gives his account of how the night happened. I mean, this is like the best episode of Serial ever. And he's like, yeah, you know, like, everything was, like, fine all night. But then when we got on the bus, they, you know, they figured out I was a hair model. And, you know, just went downhill from there. I'm like, oh, I totally misconstrued the situation. I thought the issue was that you were making fun of Kelly and saying that he was a PTSD asshole whose friends had died in the military because they're worthless. I didn't realize it was about the hair model. Never mind.
Oh, I like when he's like, the whole thing, you know, them finding out I'm a hair model. And then they just show the captain. It's like this long pause. I wrote triple ellipses. And then goes, huh?
How about you be a Find My Radio model?
Hey, is my radio in your hair? Could you look at it, model? Still haven't been able to find it.
The captain is listening to him. And this, you can tell that the captain for once was totally perplexed, because he starts doing that nervous thing where he starts biting his radio.
It's marking his territory. It's his new radio. All right, he's just biting it.
He's like, I think I know how to handle this. Call Kelly. Kelly, I wanted you to hear what I got to say here, all right? One time is an accident. Two times is a tragedy. Three times is a turkey in bowling, all right? The fourth time, just get to it already.
You're fired.
Fifth
time is when Goldilocks finally got a damn bowl of porridge that worked out for her. The sixth time.
Oh, Lord.
So, yeah, he finally fires Trevor. And Trevor tried to pull the Danny from Below Deck Med move, which is like, I just want some guidance, man. You know, like, sometimes I'm, like, really rash. I just need some guidance from someone like you. But Captain Lee, unlike that captain, this captain was like, I'm not buying it. You're fired.
So here's some guidance. Next time you have a booger buffet, use some salt. You'll be a happier person at the end of the day. You're welcome.
But, you know, Captain Lee is like, well, you know, I'm going to give you this opportunity to leave on good terms. And you can go and apologize to people if you want. Or you don't have to, but that's fine. And I love that Trevor's like, ugh, where's the crew that wants to apologize to me? I'm like, oh, my God.
I feel like ever since I let that girl cut my hair, it's like I lost all my power. Fucking Delilah's.
This guy is ridiculous. And I was wondering if they had their budget cut, because the captain was like, man, I'm not going to fire you. I'll let you resign like you're going to go spend time with your family, like a politician who just got caught giving a blowjob under a bathroom stall.
I was like, are you just trying to save the plane ticket? Does this mean he has to fly himself home? Because I did not see a plane ticket.
There was no one-way plane ticket.
I quit. Well, we saved that one.
And then Trevor's like, I don't know who can replace me. It's going to be tough. I think there's like a mollusk somewhere in the bay that could be a good replacement.
They literally found a monkey to replace him. Yeah. I mean, the guy who comes in next week is like, doo-doo, 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 doo-doo.
And Sierra, oddly enough, Sierra's, you know, she gives him a big hug. And she's like, you know, Trevor never did anything to me. He was always friendly. I'm like, except for all those rapey comments he made about your boobs. There was just that. But I guess that's okay.
Well, you know, got to keep those sex juices flowing, because she's also introduced her new thing, which is she's really here just to save up money to be a professional juicer. She has her own.
This is like one of the most amazing character arcs of all time.
She's like, I was really into juicing and I had my own company. But then unfortunately, like, I just didn't have the money. It costs money. So it's like, I'm going to be a maid on a boat. And save up enough to own an empire. It's like, that's awesome.
Yeah, Kate's like, Kate's quietly just like formulating an insult for 2 weeks from now for when she will really need it.
Okay.
She's like gonna go into her private time and start Googling beats. There's got to be a way to take this girl down. Cumin. There's got to be something in cumin.
I like the idea. You know, most people, you know, they have these like these noble causes. Like, well, this is my passion, but I stepped away from it to earn money so I could bring my family over from like Vietnam or something, you know, or like. Or I'm raising money so I can buy a house of my own, or I can buy the. But Sierra's just like, no, I just want to raise enough money so that way I can, you know, go back to juicing, making juices. But do you ever think that maybe your juices weren't good in the first place, which is why they didn't sell well? Did that never happen?
Oh, I don't know, but we got a little taste of that when Ben had a little taste of that.
Absolutely.
Like, hey Ben, this is my lemonade, and he's like, ugh. It's awful, darling.
He's now a shade away from Janet. I just want to mention.
Darling. I mean, you notice he does that. He's like, I don't like how you did that, baby doll. I don't like how you did that, darling. Scurdy, booty, booty, dumb, booty, dumb, toot, toots. What the hell, dude?
What is this public school sort of lemonade?
You're bringing Gamble to bed.
I know, I'm about to say. I'm turning him to Gamble. You're turning him to Janet. We can't. It's too close on the heels of Melbourne.
Yeah, Melbourne isn't done yet. So we've got one more Melbourne. We've got one reunion. And then we've got probably 6 to 8 weeks before it'll kind of leave our brains.
Never. So also we learn. So now that Trevor's gone, we can focus on Nico more. And it turns out that Nico has a thing for Emily, which is funny because Kelly has a thing for Emily. And then, but Lauren has a thing for Nico. And isn't there someone else who likes Emily? Oh, Ben likes Emily too. So it's like a full on love rhombus at this point.
Rhombus. It's basically like prison, okay? It's like a bunch of dudes stuck together and they eventually just start making one wear Sharpie lipstick while they, you know, group rape him in the back. I think it's just, I just think it's one of those things where anything becomes hot after a while. No offense to any of yous out there.
Any of yous? So then we move on to our next charter guests. We have the meeting, we learn about them. Basically it's like some entrepreneurs who are friends and their ladies and daughters, etc. And we learn that one of the guests does not eat anything. She's gluten-free, dairy-free, and water has to be a pH above 7.5. And also they want a 12-course meal on the first night. And also they want all the water toys, which we know the deckhands hate.
Oh, this was just nuts. Meat, okay, this is what she won't eat. Meat, chicken, pork, no seafood, unless it's fish, which makes no sense. Gluten-free, dairy-free. And then what'd you say about the water?
Had the water to be pH balanced? It has to be above pH 7.5.
Oh, I mean, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, seriously, for fuck's sake. Seriously, for fuck's sake.
This is one of those people who does nothing in her life to actually be important. So to feel important, she just makes everybody do this kind of shit for her.
Yeah.
Because she ate conch and she was just fine. Stupid.
Yeah, stupid. So now Ben's already getting stressed out, but Sierra's like, you know, I love eating gluten free. That's like, this is the way I love to eat, so I can help out, which we know is like, no. Did you not learn any of the lessons of Rocky? Did you not learn? You stay away.
This was so beautiful because you see that Kate can kind of see it coming, but she's enjoying it now because when she was describing how Trevor left, she was like, you can tell he's an idiot. He wears sunglasses on the back of his head. Like, she's totally loving it. And then when it comes to this, they get the venue and she's like, oh, is that vegan hippie craps? And Sierra's like, oh, that's how I eat. And then she tells her about her juicing business and how she wants to return to the industry of juice. And so she's like, I'll help Ben because I'm healthy and like I really believe in like helping people through juicing. How about a beet and goat cheese salad? I'm like, that's dairy. Like, this is going to be a disaster.
I know. And the funny thing is that then Sierra, well, because Kate's like, oh, you should make juice for us sometime. You know, because Kate's clearly just setting her up for failure. So Sierra's like, great. And she goes to the juice and she's like, it's not working. And I wrote down before anything happened, I was like, please tell me it's not plugged. Please tell me it's plugged in. Whatever. I was like, it's going to be unplugged. And sure enough, Kelly comes over. He's like, oh, well, it's not plugged in. And she's like, oh.
He's like, she's cute, but she's dumb as a box of rocks.
By the way, and speaking of boxes of rocks, have you noticed that I feel like Kate's very favorite thing, and we can confirm this with her, but I feel like her very favorite thing to do is to bring out her little box of pebbles and scatter them across the table. It's like, they always cut to her doing that every now and then, just putting them out there. I think it's like her favorite table setting.
Well, there's nowhere to shop, so I just went on the beach. The beach is your Michaels.
It's just this, like, you know, I like it because it's like, here, I'll give you some decor, but it's not overly emotional decor. It's like, here, you get rocks.
Some stones.
Yeah. Some are rough, some are smooth. It's what the ocean does to us. Right, people?
And Ben was talking about the stupid lady who won't eat anything, and he goes,
that stupid woman and Sierra are a match made in heaven, which to everyone else is hell.
Lordy.
Sierra's path. I like the fact that Sierra is basically on her own version of the Odyssey. You know, like, she left home. She left a troubled juicing home, went off onto the high seas to find something, and is planning to her triumphant return to the juicing industry as, like, bigger, better, stronger, and to take over the world.
It's like in Ruthless People when Bette Midler was being kept hostage in the basement and she was working out with, like, anything size. She could find. That's what this woman was doing. Sierra, she was, like, lifting tomato cans.
Yeah, she's like, yeah. Yeah, the moment that Helen Slater shows up on this yacht, then we'll know that Sierra is going to have a future.
And Danny DeVito refuses to pay for her to come back home.
Sierra like breaks out of the servants' quarters with like a hand mixer and charges at Kate.
So next up,
oh yes, we have ruthless people jokes. You thought our Bette Midler canon was only big business. No, we have ruthless people. I have them both on DVD. Okay,
we're waiting for a very special episode to whip out our beaches,
or outrageous fortune.
Oh man, I need to watch that again. I don't have any jokes from that. I only watched that, I think, 3 times when it came out.
I've only seen it, I think, twice.
Oh God, what a film! Shelley Long, one of the most unrated. One of the underrated. Jesus, Ronnie. Shelley Long is one of the most underrated Longs of all time.
I agree, and I will never forget her triumphant leap at the end of that movie.
Her literal
she
triumphant
leaps. Remember
leap.
That? Her,
yes,
she,
I do.
She's a dancer, and she was able to call upon her ballet. I don't want to spoil it for anyone 30 years later, but it was a moment that is forged in my brain.
I just remember thinking, I hope it was worth it, Shelley, because she'd quit Cheers to be a movie star. And I was like, ha! I hope it was worth it.
I still haven't seen True Beverly Hills, I have to say. But I did see Hello Again.
I'm going to piss off a lot of people right now and say, doesn't hold up, True Beverly Hills. Yeah, didn't enjoy it. I did a True Beverly Hills live tweet last year with some friends.
Oh.
Oddly enough. I was like, not working for me. Okay, back on Below Deck, we've got some wind drama.
Oh yeah, guess what? Get out the time to get the fenders. The yacht's underpowered. The wind is blowing out. Will we get out of port? Will we get out of port?
The wind blows from one direction. That's an accident. It blows from another direction. That's a tragedy. It's blowing from 3 directions. Now that's completely unstoppable. But we did it.
The arrival of the guests was hilarious.
Yes. It's a motley crew.
Yeah, it's a motley crew. They've all met through their internet businesses.
So weird.
I'm thinking dark web selling babies or something.
Yeah.
They're all weirdos. And Kate goes, these guests are giving me a strange vibe. Chow. There's Chow. Then there's the strange fat Russian man. Then there's the other nameless fat dude who can kill you with his eyes.
Yeah, she calls them D-list Quentin Tarantino characters. And then, meanwhile, no one's paying attention to the jacuzzi, and it's filling up and getting higher and higher and higher. It's like that scene in The Facts of Life. Remember that one episode of Facts of Life where Tootie, I think, was like house-sitting, and there was a hot tub on the second floor, and she, like, they left the house to go out because they were in L.A., and the hot tub overflowed, and then the ceiling caved in.
Yes, I do. I also remember when I was 12 years old And I was sewing something in my bed because my meemaw had taught me how to sew, and I had a water bed, and I fell asleep, and it popped, and I woke up wet, and then the room caved in the next morning and almost killed Romana, the cleaning lady. There you go. True story. You can ask
the stories Rhonda. That come out. I mean, I'm certain. I mean, you just won up to Edward Scissorhands.
Thank God they didn't have those lawyer things on the back of buses. Girl, she could have. Oh, Romana could have accidentes my ass.
Romana, you never told me also that there was a Romana in your house.
Yes, Romana.
Let's face it.
Romana was my second mother. Ramona is my meemaw. So there you go. A lot of crazy numerology happening in the Karam home.
So meanwhile, back on the yacht, it's time for lunch. Kate's putting tables out on the table. Her favorite thing to do. And there's like this creepy Russian dude who tells Emily that she's adorable and that like if his wife had died or there was like a creepy Russian guy and
like,
the guy was
bald.
Something
happens to my wife.
You be my new wife.
And then Kate, she tells Kate, she's like, he said that he would steal me if his wife died. And Kate goes, well, she'll probably commit suicide.
Here, take some pebbles.
And so I left weapons on the table. Throw the use your pebbles, Emily. Use your pebbles.
The pebbles will keep you calm.
It's like Kate's version of self-defense against douchebags.
It's like stress balls, but of course, the only way that Kate can de-stress herself is with something that's like hard as rock. Uh-huh. So then these people are just so obnoxious sitting around the table. Like the wife of the charter guy, I think, or some lady, she just goes,
she's disgusting.
Oh, yeah.
It's $3,000. It's the eater.
Oh, was it her? She's like, yeah. $3,000 is like sewer money.
Oh, gross. Yeah, they're all talking about how rich they are and how they're making more money just standing there than most people make in a year.
Yeah.
I was like, so and awful. You bought that homely woman with all of those terrible allergies? Like, come on. If you were really that rich, you could have bought a better wife.
Yeah, if you're really that rich, you wouldn't be on vacation with a Shrek. So then finally, after like a million cutaways that were making me more and more stressed, Nico suddenly discovers that the hot tub has completely overflowed, and he goes, it really was like some like Sorcerer's Apprentice shit, you know? He was like trying to get it to stop, and he had to radio to Kelly. And I love like Kelly comes up and like, Kelly's like, hey, it's okay, bro. I'll get a chamois. I'll help you out. It's okay. Happens to everyone. I'm like, Kelly, you're so hot and so reasonable.
Please say that with your penis. I like when they were cutting back and forth. They're like, ooh, hot tub drama. It's like slowly watching something overfill. The camera people got like 30 different angles of it. They're such dicks. Like they don't point it out to anybody. They could sink, by the way. And then they keep cutting down to Kelly. It's like, dun, 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 dun. He's like, radicchio. Dun, 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 dun. Wow, that celery was filling.
And then in the end, it's like not a big deal. It's like, oh, it overflowed. Okay.
So they have lunch and they serve the awful wife, conch. And she's like, what is conch? Okay, fish, I love it. And she ate it. That's a shellfish, yes. You fucking moron. I hope you die right now.
I hope you eat a pebble. And then it's like, time for the pool toys. Release the critter free pool.
You better bring every toy we've got. If it floats, I want it behind that boat.
We're going to need a bigger inflatable boat. So then they pull out the pool, which is hard because they're a man down. Oh, and that Russian guy, he is just like hairy and fat and a hunchback and like...
like everything that could go wrong went wrong with this poor guy.
Yeah,
everything.
And I had to see him in high contrast with my TV. Whew, it was not easy.
And the captain, for whatever reason this season, loves a horse joke. It's been like every episode he's talked about horses. He's like, I've seen horses with shorter manes on them. It's a dog and pony show. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink it.
A horse is a horse, of course, of course. Which is now our second Mr. Ed joke in two episodes.
It's his fault, though. Okay, so Ben has decided they have to make a 12-course meal. So Ben has decided that he's going to let Sierra be in charge of the asshole woman who won't eat anything. And she's like, yeah. Awesome! This is totally what I visualized.
Yeah, and Kate's like, you know, and by the way, while this is happening, all the guests are like tumbling into the pool like a Plinko game. They're just like falling in, falling all over themselves, splashing around like the most uncoordinated people I've ever seen. So while that's happening downstairs, Sierra's getting ready to go into the lion's den. And Kate's like, it's like sending a sweet bunny into a rabid lion's den. But I think it'll work out because the bunny wants to help the lion. I'm like, no, the lion will kill the bunny and you are more excited than you've ever been. Let's face it.
Another thing that happens in lion's dens, sheets get burned. So,
well, maybe next time if you iron the sheets better, you wouldn't have to be in the kitchen with Ben. That's all.
You're not in trouble. The rest of your trip is just going to be hell. Okay.
So Sierra is writing in a notebook and I just put yikes. Lord knows what comes out of those hands. Like what comes out of her mouth is terrifying enough. What would come out of her fingers? It's just like
I feel like it's like doodles that resemble Care Bears.
Yeah. Lots of flowers and like carrots and I don't know.
I drew a juice.
This is an apple juice. This is an orange juice. Well, they look the same. That's because I don't have colored pencils.
Looks like a scribble.
That's spilt juice.
All right. Good to have you here.
Looks like your name. That's my name written in juice.
So they start cooking, and this is when Ben goes into total.
All right. Nope. Not that way, darling. Nope, not that way, baby. Hey, I need all the shot glasses to match, sweetie pie, sugar honey bunch.
Not like that, though. Yeah, I was actually incredibly stressed because, you know, he was right. A 12-course meal is a big endeavor, and he is in a tiny kitchen, and he's got fussy guests, and he really has no help. So I was, like, sitting there stressed out like a classic Top Chef episode.
And these assholes, of course, the whole time are like, ugh, what's taking so long? It's the longest meal ever. Yeah. And they go to bed. Ugh. And Carolina, the evil wife, is like, I'm not happy. I don't like caviar.
Yeah, she is like truly, truly terrible. I understand if you don't like certain foods. I mean, I have a thing. I hate berries. I hate peaches. But like there's just a way to like not be such a baby about it all. And by the way, that Russian dude, he was sitting there eating the foie gras like the penguin. Like he was literally Danny DeVito in Batman Returns. He's like just stuffing it into his mouth. I was like, and then he starts talking. I don't know what he's even saying. He means maybe he's drunk, maybe he's not. He's like, maybe we're going to have 50 people and 50 girls, 100 girls, just taking care of everybody and every pass. I mean, I don't know why I'm giving him an Indian accent.
Basically,
but
I want to see pussies on faces in this new restaurant concept I have. I want to see vaginas crawling around men's faces. And
Kate's like, that guy's daughter, Mr. Chow's daughter is on the boat. Yeah. So
she was just standing above him, staring at him, ready to throw her pebble box at him. Just gonna the entire thing right at his face.
And Carolina, don't they have popcorn? They don't even have a popcorn here. I'm like, oh, really? After all this, you'll eat fucking popcorn? Yeah. God damn you, well, Carolina.
To be fair, she like they had gone through like two courses and Sierra was taking so long with the salad. She made this enormous salad that looked like just came from Soup Plantation. It was like big and chunky and like did not look very artful at all compared to the rest of the dishes. And so she brings out this huge salad and Sierra like takes it out and everyone's like, whoa, big salad. And Carolina's like, she's like, oh, so like I'm supposed to just eat this whole thing and that's it? Like I'm giving everyone an Indian accent today.
I don't get to enjoy the courses. I'm not happy.
Yeah. I mean, it was stupid because Sierra should have just made a small little salad, like using half the vegetables for one salad and then made another little salad as the next course. And then she's like, so I just skip all the courses. And then Sierra's like, yeah. I'm like, you're such an idiot, Sierra. Why would you say that?
Doesn't that sound fun?
She's like, no, I'm not happy.
So they have to start bringing stuff up. And this was my favorite part of the episode. I don't know why, but I like when Kate delivered the tune and she goes,
okay, it's a blockade of tuna with someone.
It's like a blockade of tuna.
I know. I was like, wondering, blockade. Like... I wonder maybe she meant brocade. Maybe she said brocade and I heard it wrong, but I thought I was like, blockade of tuna. It's a quarantine of arugula.
There's too many potholes and we officially can't drive on this road anymore. So we've put a blockade of tuna up.
We are sick of hearing what you have to say, so we created a blockade of tuna around your face.
And then downstairs, Sierra drops a plate and spills something, which yes. is no big deal. It's only, you know, another thing to add to this already 19-hour yeah. course
yes.
that he's doing.
But I have to say, the primary at one point was like, at this pace with 12 courses, we'll be here until midnight. I'm like, yeah, you dumb fuck, because you asked for a 12-course meal, and those things don't happen in an hour. Those take like 3 hours, and you arrived like 4 hours ago, and you're going to eat it. You said you wanted to eat at 8:30 or whatever. That's the way it goes.
Yeah, fuck you.
Fuck you.
And then the Barney Rubble Russian who wants the pussy restaurant on Faces takes a nap with his Samsung. I was like, yeah. I hope that thing explodes in your face.
And did you notice at one point, by the way, they had a cutaway of Sierra wiping all the leftover Carolina salad into the trash. So Carolina only ate like a part of it anyway. She probably was like, this lettuce was not washed with high alkaline water.
And there was a cream dressing on that, by the way. I love that Ben's like, fuck you.
I don't know if it was a cream dressing. It looked like it was just an emulsion.
Oh, it looked like a cream to me, Ben.
Well, because you know when you do like a balsamic, if you shake it up a lot, it looks creamy, but it's really not.
Yes, but it was yellow and creamy. I guess he could have done that with an egg or something. But
I will say it did look like it looked very much like a non-fancy salad. It looked like French dressing slathered onto like stuff from a salad bar.
Yeah, I think the cherry tomatoes didn't help.
And the giant chunks of beet.
Yeah, it was very sizzler all you can eat.
Yeah.
No offense, Sierra.
No offense.
Seemed like a very lovely, crazy person.
So, and then, and the meal, he churned out a lot of food. I mean, you have to give Ben credit. And I like that, at everything he served, Carolina had an issue with. She's like, no, calamari steak. No, I can't. She goes, but I'm not picky. I'm like, fuck you.
Yeah, she's an awful human being. hope you drown, bitch. Okay, so next up, Kelly and Nico are after the same girl. I'm telling you, it's prison. This poor Emily girl has probably never had attention like this in her whole life.
Never.
She's basically like Nicole. A female Harry Potter.
Well, I was going to say Nicole from Big Brother, British Nicole.
What?
Hello, sir. What?
I like that one, and I like that one as well. Boo!
I like them a lot, but I really like Corey the most. What?
I'm just saying I don't know him.
Oh, Nicole.
No, this one's Emily's much better than Nicole.
She's like, I quite enjoy male attention, but these two are just ridiculous at this point.
Yeah. And Kelly immediately whips off his shirt. He's like, just getting ready to go to bed. Gonna check my dick pic on the Insta.
Want me to help you fold some napkins? You know, I've done the work of a stew before. Let me do some shirtless napkin folding.
Yeah.
And I'm like fanning myself off in my living room.
She was like a teenage boy trying not to look at someone's boobs. She made sure she didn't look at him at all. And then one time she laughed and she looked him straight in the eye. It's like she was going down from napkin. She was like, folding a napkin.
Straighten your eye. Straighten your eye. Do not look at his breasts.
So then Nico, once Kelly walks away, Nico then tries to pull some moves. I forget what he said, but I just wrote down that he has no game. It was something awkward.
He does that thing where he's just leaning back. Look, you should not do that. He's like leaning on the cat, like lay leaning, you know, like all lazy. Yeah. And you shouldn't do that to a waiter who really is working hard, okay? Like to a maid who works really hard. They do not like seeing people lean. I wish
just ask Romana.
This show, goddamn. You got time to lean, you got time for the roof to cave in on you because my son left a pin in the bed.
Oh my god, that's like such a legendary story. I don't know how it took 4.5 years for that story to come out.
Because A, it's saying I was raised by a cleaning lady, which is, you know, both snotty and embarrassing. It's embarrassing on many different levels.
But it's also like I mean, was it just like a regular pin? Was it like a knitting needle or something?
I was sewing a pillowcase because me and Mom was teaching me to sew, and I was like, okay, well, I'll practice. So I was practicing on a pillowcase, and of course, fell asleep.
And then rolled over onto the needle or something. Must have been.
Well, yeah, a waterbed. I mean, every time you move, it's like, Big Sur. That's where I got it from. Yeah. Big Sur waterbed.
Well, speaking of watery things, we then have Sierra, who's like, now that dinner service is over, she just starts to cry. Because she's like, I have a thick skin, but this is a lot. I'm like, you do not have a thick skin, ma'am. You do not. You were intimidated out of the juice industry. Okay.
I like when she says, I have thick skin. It's just not around negativity. It's like, that's not thick skin, you idiot. You're like, I can stay dry in the rain when it's not raining.
Like, yeah. I think the thing that really did it for her was at one point, like, she had to remove parsnips from a dish, from a tuna dish, and she put them in a bowl, and Ben was like, those have Baba Ganoush on them. And then that was just like, she's like, can I not win at anything? And then she's just like crying, and now she's thinking about leaving entirely. Like,
she never stopped crying. She cried down there for an hour, and Ben was like, well, it's all right, dearie, darling, sweetie face. There's no need to cry. It was a stressful moment. And he tells us, old school chefery, you got plates thrown at your head and not you have to duck knives. I yell at someone, it's like, oh, no.
Yeah, and then she basically she's a mess. And then she's like, this negative energy is not for me. Who would have thought that the yachting industry would be so much more intense than juicing at home?
This is even harder than getting bits of carrot out of the strainer. You know what I mean? Yes, Sierra. Yes. Sierra, if you cannot take this, just go into a basement somewhere and dwell there. It's what I do. It's the best advice I can give you. Don't leave your house. The world is full of negativity and horrible things, okay? Now go back to bed.
Go back to bed. Everyone, that's it. That's it. Sorry. I just like, okay, I'm going to end it now.
That was it. Literally it. Like on the boat when everybody applauds Ben, I'm like that. I'm like, oh, thank you for dinner, Ben. Okay, now I'm just being Carolina, not applauding and just giving you a hateful look.
Yeah. So anyway, guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for all the support and love that we got this week with the LA Podfest, etc. We'll be seeing a bunch of you guys later on tonight at the Hangout. Go drop us a question for the Crabman's Mailbag. Weigh in on the Super Fight. Subscribe on iTunes. And everyone give a big amount of love and hugs to our super premium sponsor, Madonna Hines.
Mangie.
I'm mentioning her now because in post, I'm supposed to put it in the front of the episode, but I have a feeling I'm gonna forget, so I'm saying your name now. You may hear it twice, but at the very least you'll hear it once. Thanks, Madonna.
Madonna.
Everyone, thank you so much. We'll talk to you all next week. Bye.
Love you more than Snickers, y'all.